Okay, well, would you please turn to the book of Job, and today we're in chapter 19. Job chapter 19 for today. And before we stop and consider God's word, we're going to ask for his blessing to be upon us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and consider your word. We ask that, Lord, as we look at this man and your dealings with him, that they will be a reminder of how you work with us, and that, Lord, we may find encouragement in your word and the revelation that you have given us. We pray that your spirit may be the one who works in and amongst us, and we do pray and commit this now to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when any of us are sick in some way or another and we go through some sort of trials, nearly all the time we will get asked this question: how are you feeling? You ever get that? It doesn't matter if you've got a sore tooth, you've got a flu, or you've got a broken arm. Generally, someone will come up and they will say, how are you feeling? And often we probably don't really go into a great lot of detail of how we actually feel. Sometimes we don't know how to put how we feel into words. Other times we don't really want people to know how we feel. Also, sometimes we think, well, look, they're being nice, but they don't really want to know all the ins and outs of how I feel. And so you might just reply with a standard answer like, oh, I'm okay. And that's all they get. Well, have you ever stopped to wonder how Job felt when he was going through these times of trouble? Throughout the months that he was struggling with these things. Well, the good news is, even though no one asked Job how he felt, he does actually tell us how he was feeling as he was going through this time. And I think it's worth exploring what Job says here. It may show us that the way that we feel when we go through some trials is a common thing. And we can relate to how Job felt as well. As well as this, Job explains what he was trusting in and what was getting him through these times as he felt the way he felt, which I believe will be an encouragement to all of us. Now, what Job does is he gives us seven pictures to describe how he feels, first of all. Something that we can relate to in everyday life. And he says, that's how I am feeling at this time. And we get an insight to this man and get to experience how he looked at life while he was going through this. And I'm sure we're all going to be able to identify with him to some degree or not. And so in Job chapter 19, we read there in verse 1, then Job answered and said, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? And so it was like they were just chopping him up with the things that they were saying about him and to him, these friends. But then in verse 6, he begins to describe how he felt. It says there in verse 6, know now that God hath overthrown me, and he hath compassed me with his net. And so, Job says he feels like he's been caught in a net. It feels like God has caught him in a net. Now, I'm sure you've watched one of those documentaries with animals and they get caught in a net somehow. They get sprung up and they're caught, or a net's thrown over them. And generally what happens is the animal is very confused. They don't know what's happening. They get frustrated that they can't get out. They begin to get a bit angry, and it dawns on them they're trapped. And Job says, I feel like God has surrounded me with a net. I feel trapped. And I'm sure he felt confused and frustrated and angry that he couldn't do what he wanted to do. And when we suffer, you know, we often feel as though we've been trapped, don't we? We feel caught by that feeling that's come across us, or that pain has trapped us, or that tragedy has engulfed us, or that sickness has overcome us, and we feel caught in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And all of a sudden, we realize that we've lost our liberty, and we're confined, maybe to a hospital bed, maybe to needles, maybe to an awful feeling or a sickness. And you can't live the way that you want to be living. You feel like you are trapped in a net. Well, that's how Job felt. But then he goes on to say that he felt also like a man in court getting no justice. Verse 7, "Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment." And so Job pictures himself as a man in court explaining or protesting about the wrong that has taken place in his life, but there is no judgment coming. The judge isn't making right the things that have come upon him. The judge doesn't do anything about it. The judge doesn't right the wrongs that have been happening in his life. And so Job felt as though there was a lot of injustice taking place within this courtroom, so to speak. And isn't that how we often feel when we suffer as well? We don't feel as though what's happening to us is fair. And we cry out to God that he will help us and make right the things that are going wrong. But it feels as though God is not hearing. He's sitting back and he's not making right the things that have gone wrong. Life doesn't feel fair. And the judge isn't doing right. Often we feel like that. And that's exactly how Job felt. Then he goes on to explain how he feels like a traveler who hits a roadblock. Verse 8, "He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass." So there's a big roadblock in the way that he wanted to go. "And he hath set darkness in my paths." And so Job basically, if you want to put it in a long phrase, say, here I was going along life, enjoying my family, living my life before God and worshiping him. And then all of a sudden, this tragedy happens and everything is stopped. It's like there's a roadblock and I can't go the way that I've been wanting to go in my life. These boils, this pain, this suffering has stopped me from doing what I want to do. And the direction I was planning on going has been stopped by this roadblock. Life has stopped. And I wonder if you felt like that when something in your life has happened. There are many things that you may wanted to do, but now, because of this sickness, this tragedy, whatever it may have been, life has stopped. You hear this happening many times. A man might have all these plans for his business, then he has a heart attack and he has to put them all on the shelf. It's like that heart attack is like a roadblock. He can't fulfill what he wants to do. A young man may have all these plans for the future and then this sickness comes upon him and now he doesn't even know if he has a future. And most of us who've lived a little bit of life will have known what this is like. Something has happened and it's like life has stopped. It's like a roadblock. Well, Job felt exactly like that as well. Also, he says, he felt like a dethroned king. Verse 9, "He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head." In this lonely state of suffering, Job felt like a king who had been dethroned. In those days, when a king was captured, he would be brought back to the victor's city and then he would be publicly humiliated in front of everyone. It wasn't a nice experience to be a dethroned king. And Job felt humiliated like one of these dethroned kings. He had lost all his glory, the glory of being a man, respected amongst others. Now he's just this pitiful looking man lying in ashes, scraping his sores. He had wealth. Now he was a poor man. He was respected. Now he wasn't. And anyone who has suffered in some way would know the sense of humiliation that comes through suffering in some sort. You know, you go to hospital and you leave your pride at the door, and it's a very embarrassing place in many ways. You feel like a dethroned king. It's embarrassing. You know, when you are sick or you're suffering in some way, you often feel like a second-class citizen. Everyone else is off living their life happily, and here I am, and you don't feel the same as everybody else. Well, Job knows what that feels like. That's exactly how he felt. Verse 10 is a little bit different. He says, I would say it's like a building being destroyed. It says in verse 10, he hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. It's like a picture of a building being smashed on every side to be brought down. That's what he felt like. His temple was being hammered from every side. Also an uprooted tree he felt like, and mine hope hath he removed. That word means uprooted, like a tree. He was a strong, beautiful tree, but this storm has uprooted everything in his life. And then lastly, he says he feels like he is the enemy of God as God has besieged him like a city. Verse 11 and 12, he hath also kindled his wrath against me, and he counted me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. And so God is like an enemy. He sent his troops and they have circled around him like a besieged city. And so he felt like God was the one against him, besieging him. You know, when a city in those days was besieged, no one was allowed in and no one was allowed out. People were left in that city all alone, terrified, not knowing what the future would hold and what was actually going to happen to them. And Job felt cut off from God, and he felt all alone, and he didn't know what was going to happen in the future. And when we're suffering, we can easily think that God is the one that's doing it. We feel cut off from people. We feel cut off from God. We feel as though he's forsaken us and we don't know what the future holds. And we do often feel like those people that are in that besieged city all by ourselves. And so these are some of the feelings that Job had. And this is how he described these feelings to us. If you went up to Job and you said to Job, Job, how are you feeling at the moment? Well, Job would have said, I feel trapped and confused. I feel like there's been no justice given to me. I feel as though all my plans have come and there's this roadblock in front of me. I feel humiliated. I feel like I'm crumbling. I feel like I'm being uprooted like a tree. And I feel like I'm the enemy of God and he has besieged me and I'm all alone. Wow. If someone responded like that next week, when you say, how are you feeling? You'd think, wow, I don't know if I should have asked, right? But I'm sure we've all felt like that at times. Maybe you feel like that right now. Well, you know, Job hasn't finished really describing his circumstances, because then he goes on to describe how others are treating him at this time as well. Have a look at verse 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintances are very estranged from me. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. And so Job not only felt alone, he was alone. when it came to his family and his friends. No one wanted to have anything to do with him. Ah, but what about the servants in his household? Surely they're servants. They're going to show him attention. Surely. Well, no. Verse 15. They that dwell in my house and my maids count me for a stranger, and I am an alien in their sight. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. And so even the servants within his household didn't want to have anything to do with him. Maybe he looked so sad, looked so terrible, they thought, I don't know what I'm going to be able to say to him. I'm just going to keep my distance. But when he called, they didn't answer. Verse 17, my breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. And so Job's wife wasn't there to comfort him still. This is months later, and she's still not there to comfort him. She's having some hard times. And if we read on in verses 18 to 20, it says, yea, young children despised me, I arose, and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. You know, this is a sad, sorry tale. And we can be sure that when Satan got the permission to unleash whatever he wanted on Job, except for taking his life, Satan conjured up the most awful, dreadful things that he could possibly think of and inflicted Job with them. Job was not exaggerating when he said these things. We know that there are some people that can have a little bit of a toothache and they would describe like this. Oh, I feel so trapped in a net and I'm confused and I feel like I'm being uprooted. My whole life is being destroyed and I feel like I'm besieged by God. And yeah, what's wrong? Oh, I've got this little sore tooth here. Like life's coming to an end. And you think, maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, what you say. Job isn't exaggerating here. Job was suffering the full assault of Satan, and it was horrendous. And you know, if Job had left it there, he was definitely a man without any hope. And sadly, this is where many people leave their description and their words during trials, because they have no hope. For many, they go through suffering, they feel trapped and blocked and uprooted, they feel forsaken by friends and even God. And that's the state where they remain, and they feel desperately lonely and sad, day in, day out. The good news is, though, there is an answer, and there is hope. And what's even more exciting is, Job had the answer, and he gives us the answer here. We know in those early days when he was going through those dark days and dark thoughts, he didn't have any advice to give. He didn't have any hope to share with us, to encourage us in how to get through these things. But here we can see that Job is starting to grow through this trial. And he's starting to learn some things about God. Or maybe he's remembering things he already knew, but he had forgotten for a while. But we see here that Job shares not only how he felt, but he also shares the cure when you're feeling like this. And the reality is, we could plant ourselves here and have a whole message, a few messages, just in this passage. But we're not going to do that. But I do want us to see what he says as the solution and the antidote to help us through these times when we feel like he described. He says there in verse 23, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Well, he got his answer. He got that wish. Verse 24, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. He wanted what he had written to remain forever. Now, he got something better than lead in a rock. He got it in the Word of God, which will be here for all eternity. And then he says this. He wanted this because he wanted everyone to know and always know his attitude at this time. Because he says there in verse 25, "For I know," get that, he is convinced about this. And so this is important to keep in our mind. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." There is so much just in that little phrase, or those few words. Job knew, he was convinced. And what was he sure of? That he had a Redeemer, first of all. Someone that would pay the price for his sin and redeem him. Some might say he was thinking it was a Redeemer where he would take him out of this terrible circumstances. That may have been the case, but also that redemption of his sinful state as well. But he understood that he had a Redeemer. Not only that, he understood that his Redeemer was alive. And here, I believe he's talking about the pre-incarnate Savior who was to come. He had a Redeemer, and he was already alive. And he goes on, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job knew that the Savior was coming. And here, he speaks prophetically of that time when the Redeemer, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we know as the Lord Jesus Christ, will come and stand upon this earth and he will reign over this earth. He understood that the Redeemer was coming to reign. But it gets better because Job was sure not only that this was going to happen, but he was sure that he was going to see it. And he was going to see it with his very eyes, which shows us he understood the resurrection, which we looked at last week as well. Because it says there in verse 26, "For though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now before we look at the resurrection, notice he refers to the Redeemer as being God. "In my flesh shall I see God." Who? The Redeemer. And so he understood the deity of the Redeemer, Jesus, our Redeemer. But he also understood the resurrection. Verse 27, "Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." You know, Job believed that he would see the Redeemer stand in that glorious day upon this earth with his own eyes. His own eyes. Even though he die, the worms destroy, he knew, he was sure that he would be raised again, receive that new body. If a man dies, shall he live again? Yes. And he will see this with his own eyes. And so, if we were to condense all of this down that Job said, we see that Job found comfort in two main things. Firstly, he found comfort in his Redeemer. He had a Redeemer that would help him. Also, the second thing that brought him comfort was he was going to be resurrected. So he had comfort in knowing he had a Redeemer, and he had comfort in knowing that he was going to be resurrected, that he will live again and live forever and enjoy glory with his Redeemer. And brethren, here is the blessing for each person who is a Christian. We can find comfort in our times of trials through these two things as well. First of all, we can find comfort in our Redeemer and in our Redeemer's word, which we have here written for us. You know, despite what we feel, Jesus has given us his word that we can cling to. And when we cling to his word as our Redeemer, we don't have to feel lonely and feel as though there is no hope. Let me show you this. Let's look very quickly at how Job described the feelings he was going through. And let's see how we find the answer to those feelings in our Redeemer's words. For example, when we feel trapped like a net, remember what the Apostle Paul said when he was trapped in a cell? Yes, he felt trapped, not in a net, but in a cell. Paul said, in that condition, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. How could he be content even though he felt trapped like in a net? Because Jesus was right there with him. And so even though he felt trapped, he understood that he had that comfort and that relationship with his Savior right there in the net. And so because of that, he could be content. You know, when you feel as though you're being treated poorly and there's been no justice and God is not hearing you, well then we need to remember what our Redeemer says in his word, and that is that nothing can separate us from the love of God. God's love for us is there regardless of how we feel. And so if we feel as though God is not bringing justice, they are false feelings. He hasn't forgotten us. Nothing will separate us from his love. If you feel blocked, as though you can't go the direction that you were wanting to go because of a certain trial, well, remember the words of our Redeemer where we're told that Jesus is the Good Shepherd and he has promised that he will lead us in his paths, the paths that he wants us to go. And so that means if we feel like we have come to a stop and we can't go any further, we can accept that through the sovereignty of our shepherd that it's for a purpose. You know, I've heard it said that not only are the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, but also the stops of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Sometimes our shepherd makes us to lie down. And if you feel like something has come into your life and it's like a roadblock and has stopped you, take that from your Heavenly Father. Maybe he knows it's time to just stop and rest for a while. Maybe it's the direction we were going was the wrong one. He needs to lead us in a different direction. But we can be assured that he is the one who directs us. And so we can trust that the stops are there for a reason. If you feel humbled and dethroned like a king, well, remember the words of the Redeemer where he says, if we humble ourselves in the mighty hand of God, in due time, he will lift us up. If you feel as though you've been uprooted, remember the words of the Redeemer, that we are rooted in Christ Jesus, that we have a sure foundation, a sure anchor for our souls in the time of storm, and that is Jesus. We're not going to be blown away if we are anchored in him. And we should always remember, when we're saved, we are not the enemies of God. We are his children, we are his friends, and he loves us. And if we feel as though we are besieged by an enemy, understand the enemy is Satan. It is not God. We are never besieged by God in that way. We have been redeemed, and we are his children. What does the word of our Redeemer say? We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We're not the enemies. We're not separated. We have been reconciled. As he says, we can never be separated from the love of God. And so if you feel as though you're all alone and God's out there and you've been cut off, they are false feelings. You need to believe the word of God. And so firstly, we can find comfort and answers to how we feel from our Saviour, the Redeemer, and His Word, just like Job. And then secondly, we can also find comfort in the resurrection, knowing that this life isn't all there is, but there is going to be a resurrection. And there we will see our Redeemer reign, and we will reign with Him for all eternity. And that's important to keep in mind, and that's an encouragement, because for many people, the net that they feel surrounded by may never leave. If you have a chronic disease that makes you feel trapped, it's never going to leave. There are some circumstances, some roadblocks that will never go, and you may never be able to go the direction that you first planned to go. But we still have hope, and that is, regardless of what happens in this life, there is going to be a resurrection where I can live in a new body with my Saviour and enjoy all the things He has planned for us forever. Yes, you may not be able to achieve certain things and enjoy certain things this side of eternity. But as we read in God's Word in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now this is the Apostle Paul talking, who suffered greatly. And he said the sufferings that we go through aren't even worthy to be compared to what we will have in glory. And we can be encouraged and confident with the knowledge that as the children of God, there are better things to come. And when we behold Him and see Him as He is and enjoy the new body that He promises, those things won't seem like anything compared to what we have now. And so we can have hope of better things to come because of the resurrection. And so, brethren, you're going through a trial. If the way that Job described how he felt, you are feeling right now, can I encourage you to find encouragement from your Redeemer and His Word? And encouragement through with the hope of a resurrection? We have a Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. He is alive, and so He is able to help even now. And He will reign, and we will be raised, and we will see Him with our own eyes. And so in this chapter, as I've explained, Job explains how he feels, but then he gives us the hope. He has a Redeemer, and there is a resurrection. And that is the answer for us as well when we go through trials and suffering also. And so I trust that's an encouragement to you and a blessing. And Lord willing, we'll have you tuned in tonight. And tonight it will be Mr. Phil Brown who will be sharing from God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the day. And we thank You for our Redeemer. Thank You that He is alive. And yes, He came to earth that first time and hung on a cross, and He died to redeem us from our sin and the judgment. Yet on that third day, He rose again, and He is at Your right hand this very moment. And it's in His name and through His righteousness we pray this day. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.